Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am so excited to be bringing you my guest, Nate Dukes. In his early 20s, Nate was a business owner chasing success while dealing with a secret drug addiction. After constantly hitting rock bottom, hurting everyone close to him, stealing a car, and going to jail, Nate went on a journey of changing his mindset and his decisions, which helped him create his own comeback story. He quickly found that there were other people just like him who were stuck believing the lie that they never change. Through his book, On Stage Speaking, and personal coaching, Nate shares what he's learned to help other people make their own comeback. Welcome to the show, Nate. So happy to have you here.
Hey, I am honored to be here. Thank you so much. I have become a real fan of this show. And so to be on the other side of it now is really, really humbling for me. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for being a listener. I appreciate that. So to start things off, could you just tell us your backstory?
Yeah, for sure. So to understand Nate now, you got to understand where did I come from? And so growing up as a kid, we were what you would call the poor family. We didn't have a whole lot. My parents had some broken mindsets that were passed down to us kids. And I want to be very clear. I do not blame my parents for anything. They were really kids trying to raise kids. And unfortunately, we kind of got caught up in their mess. And so there's this one Christmas that my mom came up to us and she said, hey, don't plan on having a whole lot of presents underneath the tree this year. And you know, as a kid, that's nothing that you ever want to hear. But there was this really great church that came along and they bought my mom a bunch of presents for us. And we had this amazing Christmas experience. Aww. But we also knew that it didn't come from her. And we were used to hand-me-downs and handouts. And so when I turned 18, I really wanted to escape the chaos of my childhood. I wanted to create a different life. And so I did what any 18-year-old that has no direction, I did what they did, which is apply to a public university and take out a bunch of student loans. And
oh, yes.
So that's the story of my early teen, or my teen in my early 20s. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew that I wanted to be successful because I thought that because we didn't have anything, that having success and stuff also equaled happiness. And so I went away to school and I'm just trying to figure out who am I? And I'm going to class, but I'm also being introduced for the first time to the party scene. And so this is where I try alcohol for the very first time. It's where I get introduced to drugs for the very first time. And all of a sudden, my studies are starting to compete with my party life. And so now I'm taking prescription ADD medication just to try and keep up. And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm Superman and I'm hyper-focused and I can accomplish everything. And what started out as a weekend fun thing, which by the way, I had a whole lot of fun during that time of my life.
right? I'm there with you.
But I have found that what feels good in the moment isn't always good for your future. And so it started out as a fun thing, turned into a full-blown drug addiction at age 19, 20, and 21. And so after 4 years of coming nowhere close to graduating, I had to move back in with my mom and dad. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the walk of shame before, but that for me, that was my walk of shame, moving back in with my parents and not graduating and going back to all of my friends from where I used to live, of like trying to come up with some excuse of the why I wasn't able to finish. And through a series of events, after I left college, I was able to actually get involved with a business partner who wanted to open up a bar and restaurant in downtown Youngstown, Ohio. And this touched on two things for me. It touched on the entrepreneur, that builder, that person that wanted to become successful. But it also touched on this party scene guy, this guy who liked to have fun and enjoy himself. And so I jumped in with both feet and we took what was a failing business in the beginning and we turned it into something that was pretty successful over the course of about 2 years. So nice. Now I've got access to more money than I'd ever seen in my entire life. Now, this wasn't a life-changing amount of money, but just growing up not having a whole lot, it felt like the world to me. So I had a nice car. I had an apartment in downtown with high-rise ceilings. I was in social, I was in social settings that I probably would have never had access to before. And I thought all of this stuff would make me happy. I thought that it would finally fill the void that was on the inside of me. I thought that the little insecure Nate who only felt special when he did special things would finally be okay. And turned out I wasn't okay and I wasn't fulfilled and I was still empty. And so now the drug addiction really started to ramp up because I'm just trying to fill the void with anything that I can. And I'm taking 3, 4, 5 times the amount prescribed to any human being. And I'm trying to find what's the right cocktail of pills that I can take that will make me feel the right way. Because I'm up during the day but I need to sleep at night. And now the anxiety's kicking in and I have these headaches. And so I'm taking pain pills and I can never figure out what was the right amount and dosage to just make me feel okay. And now all of a sudden I'm going to casinos too, and I'm starting to gamble and I find myself being addicted to gambling as well. And it wasn't even the money. It was the high that I would get when I would go to the casino. And these two didn't mix well at all. And it took about a year, but I ended up gambling pretty much everything that I personally had away. And my bank accounts were empty. I had to sell my car. And even though my personal accounts were on zero, the business bank accounts, they were still full. And so now I'm starting to move money around and I'm taking money from business and using it for personal stuff. And I thought at the time, I guess I figured, well, geez, aren't I the business owner anyways? Isn't this my money? Well, here's a business lesson 101. you can't take business money and use it for personal investments. It's actually called embezzlement. And so here I am embezzling money out of my own company to feed the addiction that's on the inside. And we had about 20 employees who worked for us. And my business partner came up to me, it was payday. And he said, Nate, it's time to cut the checks for everybody. And I just remember coming clean in that moment and just saying, listen, if we write these checks, there's not gonna be enough money in the accounts to cover them. And you could see the look on his face. He was frustrated. He was confused. He was very upset. And then it finally all started to catch up to him. He realized that I had taken the payroll money the night before and I had gambled it all away. And so he gave me an ultimatum at this point. He said, Nate, you can sign this business over to me and walk away from it free and clear, or I'm going to get lawyers involved and we're going to talk about what his pressing charges look like. So at age 26 years old, I walked away from essentially what was my life's work at that point. I didn't know who I was because my identity was wrapped up in being a business owner. And when you take that away from me, I lost my identity. And so I could hardly hold down a job after that too. So I would get a job at a local restaurant as a server somewhere. But I would resort back to what I knew, which was taking from the cash register. So I get caught for that. Then I get fired. It happened 3 different times. And finally, the last time I got fired from a job, I was walking around my parents' apartment complex where I was staying. It was 3:00 in the morning. I'd just taken a handful of pills and I was walking up to different vehicles trying to see if any of them were unlocked, see if I could.
Oh, geez.
Really what I was trying to do, I was trying to find anything that I could sell or anything that I could take, anything I could get my hands on to feed the addiction. And I ended up opening up the car door to a 1999 Buick LeSabre. And I lifted up the center console and I pulled out the spare keys to that car. Apparently that's where they kept the spare keys to a 99 Buick.
That's interesting.
I thought to myself in that moment, maybe this is a chance to escape. Maybe this is a chance to get away because the life that I have now, it's not the life that I want. And I didn't wake up that day thinking, you know, today's the day I'm going to steal a car. But when you find yourself in the wrong place with the wrong headspace, you never know what is possible. So I loaded up a few garbage bags of clothes. I threw them in the back seat and I took off for Houston, Texas. I had a friend who lived down there that said, Nate, if you ever find a way to get down here, I'll help you get back on your feet. And so I made it about halfway right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I had been up for about 3 days at this point, and I just wanted to get some sleep. So I pulled into a gas station. I remember closing my eyes and then being woken up at 9 a.m. to three really loud bangs on the driver's side window. A stranger's hand reached into the car, pulled me out, put me in handcuffs, and sat me in the back of a cop car. And the weight of every decision that I had ever made, it sat on my chest like a ton of bricks. And this thought kept running over in my mind. It was the same thought that my business partner told me. It was the same thought that people I had taken advantage of had told me. But I found that the loudest voices are oftentimes the ones that are in our own head. And it kept saying, Nate, you'll never change. This is your life now. You're never going to change. You're never going to be any different. And so they took me to Cheatham County Jail, where I spent 6 months of my life. It was a pod style facility. So I shared it with 16 guys. There were 8 bunk beds. There was 3 tables. There were 2 toilets, but there were 0 windows. And the only chance that we got
that's horrible.
The only chance that we got to get out was once a month they offered something called church service. Now, I wasn't really interested in going to church, but I was interested in getting out of that pod. And so I walked down this long cinder block hallway, and off to the left-hand side, there was this room set up with 16 folding chairs. And we were some ugly looking dudes at this point. So our hair was grown out. Our beards were a mess. Orange is not a good color on any guy.
Orange is bad.
This is a bad color. I'm a Browns fan, and orange and brown is our color. And I still to this day, I refuse to wear it. But so we walked into this room, and this really, really old guy walked in after us, and he pulled out this really, really old guitar, and he started to tune it up. And he looked at us and he said, "Fellas, the only difference between me and you is that I never got caught for the things that I did wrong." And he starts to play this song called Amazing Grace. And it goes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And I look around the room and I see 16 guys who had hurt people, who had taken advantage, who had done some pretty terrible things, with tears starting to stream down their face. And I just remember in that moment feeling this overwhelming sense of peace. I wasn't worried about my past, the things that I had done wrong. I wasn't worried about my future. When am I going to get out of here? And I just remember that moment thinking, if it is possible to change, I want to, because this is not the life that I want. This is not the life that I want.
Yeah.
And so when I got out of jail, they gave me 2 years of felony probation, because you're not allowed to steal cars and drive them across the country. That's
right. It's probably not a good decision.
but I got obsessed with personal development and how do you create sustainable change in your life? Because I don't know if you've ever tried to get on a diet or a workout plan and you do it for a few months.
Plenty of times.
But then you fall. Yeah. So you get it.
Yeah.
But then there's some people who, when they start to make changes in their life, they do really well with it. And I found this John Maxwell book that said, if you want the world around you to change, you've got to be the one that changes first. And I really took that to heart. And so now I started to apply these principles to my life of how do I make significant change? How do I become the best version of me emotionally and mentally? How do I become the best version of me? I mean, financially, my finances were a mess. How do I become the best version of me in my faith, in my spiritual walk? How do I become the best version of me for my family? How to become a good son? How to become a good brother? And I told myself, I'm going to take 1 year and I'm going to commit to this for 1 year. And the truth is if it doesn't work, I can always go back to doing whatever I was doing. But I had no idea what my life could look like if I started making healthy choices for 1 year. And now fast forward several years past that. By the way, transformation takes more than a year. I'm still in this process.
Yeah same. It takes a while.
but fast forward, my life looks nothing like what it used to. So I got married to the love of my life last year. Her name is Jenna. She's amazing. Thank you so much. We bought our first investment property together. So we own a duplex. We're looking at acquiring a second one here soon. I sat on the board of a nonprofit for underprivileged youth. I get to lead hundreds of volunteers at my local church every week. But the thing that I'm really proud of is for the last year and a half, I've been working on a project to help other people who feel stuck, who feel like there's something more inside of me, but I don't know how to get to it. I don't know if it's even possible for me to change. I've been working on a project for people who feel like their life is too messy to change. And it's the book that I wrote that came out in June. It went to, it became an Amazon bestseller, which I'm really proud of.
Yay!
But it's called You'll Never Change. Create Your Comeback and Prove Them Wrong. And so now I get to share my story. I get to go to different rehab and recovery centers. I get to do a lot of in-person speaking at live events with this hope of helping inspire people to create real change in their life, because who we were is not who we are now. And just because we've made some mistakes, it doesn't mean that we are a mistake.
Yes. Wow. That was very powerful. And, you know, as you're telling your story, I'm sitting there going, yep, that was me.
Yeah.
Yep. Same. Did that. Didn't steal a car, but I did attempt to rob someone. So, I mean,
yes.
Apples to oranges, right? So whenever you got out and you decided to start this personal development path, like, what was one of the first things you did? Was it ask for help? Like,
yeah.
Did you, you know, what was that thing that you did first?
Yeah. So the whole thing that started me on this path was, the only job that I could get right out of jail was as a landscaper and cutting grass. Mm-hmm. This company, they really took a chance on me, and I'm so thankful for that. But I had these headphones in my ears all day. And originally I was listening to like trap music all day long. And I got hooked up with a YouTube video or a podcast one day that was like a motivational video. And that turned into finding some of these personal development teachers online. And so now all of a sudden, instead of listening to music for 8 hours a day, I'm listening to like really great podcasts by Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss. And I'm starting to like find that there's a different way to look at life and approach things and start to heal from some of the trauma that I've experienced. And one of the big things that a lot of people said in the beginning was, you've got to find someone to mentor you, to help you, to guide you. In different recovery circles, it's called a sponsor. But I was just looking for somebody that would guide me through this process, someone that would give me hard truths when I really needed them. And so that was the first step for me, was let me find someone that I can trust, that I can let into my life and speak into it. But also, here's a little piece of advice. When you find a mentor or a sponsor or a coach, call it whatever you want, and they give you advice because they care about you and they care about the well-being of your future, do yourself a favor and actually take their advice. Because when you don't, you're not just wasting your time, you're also wasting their time as well. And so that was one of the things that I committed to, of let me actually do the opposite of what I think I'm supposed to do. Let me listen to somebody else. Because I the truth was, and I said this earlier, I could always go back. I knew what my life looked like of making poor decision after poor decision after bad decision after worse decision. I had no idea what my life could look like if I stacked up some different decisions. And after making different decisions, ultimately we get a different life.
Yeah, I agree with that too. You know, asking for help, like finding that person, is very, very important in recovery. If it's addiction, incarceration, any kind of trauma, it's having somebody to help guide you through. Because I know for me, when I was going through shit in the past, I never asked for help. So I was constantly trying to figure it all out on my own. I got this. I'll figure this out. I know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, obviously. So when, you know, I hit my rock bottom too, that's what I did. I asked for help. And being, you know, when you said take the advice because you're not just wasting your time, you're wasting theirs, that's so true. And I reached out to my husband for help, and he will tell me, you know, if you're not going to listen to me, don't even ask.
Yes.
You know, because that's the truth of it. We have to be able to, it might be uncomfortable. Like when someone tells you like, oh, wait, you might be doing that wrong. Like it's uncomfortable because you're so used to just like figuring it out. Right. So having someone telling you how to do things can be hard, but listening will change your life.
Period. Yeah. And so when you are looking for that person, just know that like, hey, you don't have to take advice from everybody, but you do have to take advice from somebody. And when I'm looking for a mentor or a coach, I always look at it through this lens. This is going to help somebody right now, is that I want to be willing to trade places with that person. Maybe not exactly, maybe I don't want exactly their life, but I would be okay if they are further along in something that I want. For example, I do not take financial advice from my broke uncle at the barbecue. All he wants to talk about is Bitcoin. Okay. Listen, I think there's a way to make money with crypto. I really do. I just can't take that advice from you. You have a track record of showing me what not to do. I need someone who can show me what to do. I need someone who's been there, who's done well with it, who's happy with their life, who's not miserable, upset, frustrated, angry, and then trying to give me advice on how to be happy. So just be willing to trade places with that person, and then you'll find yourself in a better place to receive from that person.
Wow, I've never thought of it that way. That's very true. Because like if I can think back to people that I used to take advice from, and I'm like, would I have wanted to trade places with them? Probably not.
No.
Like, I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but that's very true. And that will help somebody because I personally never thought of it that way. And I'm sure a lot of people haven't either. And just hearing that like makes me reevaluate like everyone in my life. Like, wait a second, you know, who am I spending this? That's another thing I always talk about too, is look at who you're spending time with, right?
Come on, girl. You have to.
Pay attention. You have to inventory them. And I know it sounds like ludicrous and mean or whatever, but they're not going to know that you're inventorying them, number one, unless you're like, hey, I'm inventorying you, but who would do that? But you have to do that because you have to make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are lifting you up, not tearing you back down.
Come on.
Because it's very easy to snap right back into that old lifestyle. So easy, because it's addictive, right? Because I wasn't just addicted to substances. I was addicted to all of it. I love the people. I love the noise, the chaos, the drama. And we can very quickly fall right back into that. Yep. So it's very important to pay attention to those things and those warning signs when they pop up.
Well, and here's the beautiful side to that, is that if your hands are full right now, it's hard to receive anything new. And so when we start to talk about this stuff, people get uncomfortable because they say, Nate, are you telling me to give up on people? Are you telling me to walk away from somebody? Well, first of all, if you're in a toxic relationship or friendship right now, this actually might be the permission that you need to walk away from that completely. And you know what I'm talking about. These are the people that when you get around them, you say different things, you do different things. You're not who you are. They're actually pulling you away from the plan and the purpose that's been placed on the inside of you. And so if you're in a toxic relationship, yes, this is the permission to walk away from it. But on the other side of that, I'm not saying give up on people. Really, I'm proposing that maybe we just start to limit our time with the people that are drawing us away from who we're supposed to become. And when you start to open your hands and you release yourself from the time that you spend with them, all of a sudden you're open to new people that have new visions, that make new decisions. And all of a sudden I'm going new directions in my life. And wow, like I'm actually in a friend circle that's life-giving instead of life-draining. And I'm actually proud of the people that I call my friends instead of like constantly apologizing to other people.
Like, I'm sorry.
They're not normally like this.
I know. But yet they are, but oh well.
Right. And so I just want to start to limit my time. I want to open my hands and release some of these people so that I can be open to new people. That's all I'm trying to say, because psychology will tell you that you are the average of the five people that you do life with. Science will tell us that we'll make the average amount of money of the people that we spend the most time with. And so if I know this principle to be true, you're absolutely right. Let's take some inventory. What's the last five text messages that I sent? Who am I allowing not just in my life, but who am I pouring my life into as well? Like we need to make sure we know, because nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's going to do this work for us. But this is the foundational building blocks of how to create a new life. It starts with, first of all, what are my belief systems and who do I let into this life? Who am I allowing into it?
Yeah, exactly. And like you're saying about distancing yourself, like creating boundaries, right? Like there's people in my life that, you know, I can't exactly just like shove them out of my life, you know, but I have to have boundaries. You have to build these, not walls, but I like to call them like wire fencing around you.
Okay.
You can still see the person. You can still interact, but you know in your mind, okay, this person could possibly bring me a negative emotion.
Yes.
So you're able to be prepared for that. And then you don't allow them in your life day in and day out. When they call, you don't always have to answer. Yes. Like it's up to you. You are in control. Yes. Of those things.
I really hope somebody finds a little bit of freedom in what you just said there, because you do not always have to answer, especially if there's like some recovering people pleasers listening right now. You don't always have to answer. It's okay not to. I'm not saying abandon all of your responsibilities and every other person that's counting on you right now. I'm just saying, let's take some time and evaluate. Hey, is this healthy for me right now? And if it's not, it's okay to say no.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yep. Yeah, we can't be constantly at, I don't even know how to word this, but you can't be attached to your phone, so to speak. Because I know before I would be like, someone texted me. Who was it? I better text back right away because they might think I don't like them.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, no, it's the world's not going to burn down if you don't respond or answer someone instantly.
And once you go and do like the hard work of repairing the relationship with you and you actually figure out like, hey, I like me. I may have made some mistakes, but I have actually forgiven myself and I'm proud of myself now and I like spending time with me. You don't become so addicted to what other people think about you because you're actually okay with yourself. And so that would be the next, that's like the 201 class of like, okay, let's let's start to repair the relationship with us so that we're not so addicted to other people and what they have to say.
Yeah. So like, what would you say, you know, for anyone listening, like when it comes to repairing that relationship with yourself, aside from asking for help and what we were just talking about, like what else can people do to create that love for themselves that they're lacking?
For sure. So a couple of things. First thing is Tim Ferriss says that everything that we want in life is on the other side of an uncomfortable conversation. So we've got to be willing to have some uncomfortable conversations with ourselves. And for me, that was like actually addressing the fact that past Nate had ruined our life and talking to him about that and saying, dude, you really messed up. And I think I hate you because of that. And then going on the journey of saying, what does it look like to actually forgive you and love you again? Because unforgiveness is a prison that we will keep ourselves locked in. And it's not until we actually choose to forgive ourselves that we get set free from that. I don't know if you've had like a friend who talks about you behind your back and they're more like a frenemy than they are an actual friend. Well, when you don't forgive you, when you don't like you, it's like spending all day with a frenemy. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to forgive ourselves from the past mistakes that we've made. And for some of us, that is so hard because we don't even want to think about it. We don't even want to go to that place again because we just want to bury it in the past and never bring it up. I'm just here to remind you that we do not have enough emotional dirt or mental soil to bury it deep enough that we'll never think about it ever again. It's like a zombie that will keep coming back to life over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah, it will.
So we need to kill it. So we need to face it. We need to take it head on. And that it comes in the form of forgiveness. I wish that there was a life hack around it. I do. But this is when they talk about doing the hard work. This is it. It's looking at ourselves in the mirror and saying, you messed up, but I still love you. And you won't even believe yourself in the beginning when you do it. You have to do it again and again and again and again. And then the second thing is that when you're repairing the relationship with you, the reason why we often don't like ourselves is because I don't know if you've ever set the alarm to wake up like a little bit earlier to maybe read or journal or go to the gym, but then that snooze button comes and you just keep smashing it over and over and over again. It feels so good to just sleep in. Well, so when we do that, we're actually telling ourselves, I told you you weren't going to do it. And we lose a little bit of credibility with ourselves and we lose self-confidence. So when we tell ourselves that we're going to do it and then we actually show up and do that thing, now we're starting to, this is where self-confidence comes from, because we're building that consistency and that trust that we have with ourselves, that when we say we're going to do something, we follow through. And that's how you repair the relationship with you. You become a more self-confident person because I actually believe the things. I don't think that everything that comes in my mouth is a bunch of BS, but I actually am trustworthy enough that when I say I'm going to show up for somebody else or even myself, I know that I'm a person that starts to follow through. So two really difficult things, but that have really changed my life are forgiving myself and then showing up for myself, doing the hard stuff, even when it's miserable and it's the last thing on this planet that you want to do.
Wow. Yeah. You made me speechless, which is rare. So that was wonderful. Everything you just said. So anyone who's listening, if they wanted to contact you or buy your book, like how could they find you?
First of all, I love being in contact with people who are trying to change their life. So you can shoot me an email. You can find me on social media at @WhoIsNateDukes. Slide into my DMs. Like, let's talk. You don't have to do this alone. But if you do want to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to Amazon and you can type in You'll Never Change, or you can go to the website youllneverchange.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I just have one final question for you. What is your number one tip for our listeners to allow the good things into their lives?
Yeah, I love this type of question. And so when people ask, like, hey, what's the number one thing that I can start to do right now to help me? This is going to sound cliche if you let it, but I am such a fan of cultivating gratitude. And before you write me off on, okay, here's just another gratitude list or attitude of gratitude, just hear me out for just a moment. Gratitude reminds us that what we have right now is enough, but more importantly, that we are enough. And if you can get that inside of you, that you are enough, that you are worth it, that you deserve to have good things in life, you deserve to have a beautiful life. If you can get that inside of you, I promise you, you're on the way to having a really, really successful, bright, amazing, brilliant, whatever you want to call it, future. But it starts with right now, just understanding that I have enough and I am enough.
Thank you. And thank you, Nate, so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.
Sure. And as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.